Hey, everybody. Welcome to Dick Talk, the podcast in which we read and rate smut recommended by TikTok. I'm Karina.
I'm Killian.
And I'm Emily.
And today we read Fear, A Terrifying Love Story by Catherine Ann Kingsley. Good. Let's see how much I can fuck this one up. Emily, hey.
Oh, hi. Not me.
Is an adrenaline junkie. She works as a firefighter, obliterates speed limits on her motorcycle, and does a bit of urban exploration on the side. It's on one such exploration, when she breaks into an abandoned sanatorium, that she encounters the ultimate hit of terror, the personification of fear itself. As it quickly wisps away into the darkness, Emily is left wondering, is her obsession one-sided? Can eldritch horrors even experience human emotions? And most importantly, can he satiate her lust for him? Find out in Fear.
More importantly, can he fuck?
And it's worth noting, your summary was just a hair shorter than the actual book itself.
I don't even know what tropes this had.
Age gap?
Yeah.
It's a monster romance, technically, sort of. And creative anatomy. That and the monster romance can go hand in hand.
Well, I think my favorite trope in this is when a romance FMC has a cat and that cat is the best character in the book.
It's a popular one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
My favorite trope was, you want to fuck what?
So before we dive in to Fear, if it sounds like something you want to read, heads up that our podcast is full of spoilers. If you have read the book, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at dicktalkthepodcast@gmail.com or find us on Instagram or TikTok at dicktalkpod, DIKTOKPOD.
So Emily, how was it reading a smut book with yourself as the main character?
I was glad that the female main character's name was not used all that much. But I also, like, I disassociate from my name being Emily sometimes, just from it having been such a popular name growing up. It's just that whole thing of like walking down the hallway in high school and someone else like, hey, Emily. It's like, it's never me. So it was weird and I didn't like it, but also it didn't bother me too much.
It wasn't until chapter 4,
right,
when it is mentioned.
I actually forgot that and I came across, I was like, ah,
right.
Ah.
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh, so that's her name.
It's a common name. I shouldn't be that weirded out. But I sure did grimace.
So you're not into fucking smoke, I guess?
No. I mean, not yet.
There's only one way to find out.
If the personification of fear creeps up on me, I guess we'll find out. But I'd just as soon it not.
I don't think I'd last that long. I don't think I'd last long enough to fuck it.
No.
I'd be so fucking out of there.
I think I'd piss myself and then not feel sexy at all. So,
unless he's into that. Yeah. If he would get his fingers into my mouth and then down my throat and touch my heart.
Yep, that happens.
It's scary.
Yeah. I wouldn't be able to get that far. No.
Also, she'd be dead. That just doesn't sound anatomically.
Smoke. Yeah, it's not totally solid.
Sometimes, you know, it is, sometimes it isn't.
Like, you know how you can still kind of breathe if you have a lifesaver stuck in your throat? It's like that. You know, it's like it's solid, but it's not. But you can still breathe.
Lifesaver is like the hymen in your esophagus.
Right. Yeah, exactly. The throsy.
God damn it.
The uvula. Meanwhile, I gag and almost throw up if I cough too hard. So. All right. So fucking fear.
You just gotta fuck your fears.
Gotta fuck your fears.
I mean, face your fears. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But also fuck them.
Yeah, face them while you fuck them.
Mm-hmm.
Maintain eye contact.
I would fuck some smoke. I'd do it.
Yep.
Sounds
kinda hot.
Speaking
of which, more of those shadowy, strange shapes surged inside of me, one at a time, winding and tangling with the others, until it felt as though a pit of snakes had found its way inside of my body.
Now, ain't that sexy?
Yeah. Yeah, the, like, wriggling, like, a pit of snakes. I was like,
yep.
But I know.
There's a scene in us.
You're into it.
Pegged.
Yeah.
There's a scene in a Salman Rushdie novel, I want to say Shalimar the Clown, in which snakes murder a guy, but up until he dies, it's kind of a seduction.
Oh.
Yeah. And okay. It's really hot. And then he dies.
Hotter.
Yeah. So, like, those scenes kind of combined in my mind, or, like, it reminded me of that scene, and I was just like,
okay.
All right.
Yeah.
So I'm not afraid of snake fucking. Thanks, Salman Rushdie. This is why they banned his books.
Snakes are just really, like, one giant penis. It's
giving ladies some bad ideas.
So, I was not at all shocked the fact that fear is presented as masculine. Of course, but everyone's afraid of dudes.
She gets some pronoun issues. Like, she cannot make up her mind in the beginning.
They, itself.
And then she's like, I decided it was definitely a he. And then the beginning of the next chapter is like, it. And I'm like, gender is a spectrum. It's a show, and you should play with it however you want. Although I don't encourage playing with other creatures' genders, but maybe he doesn't have
own.
A concept of gender enough to be offended. I don't know.
He did not seem offended.
As long as it can dick her down, whatever.
No dicking actually happened in this book.
Yeah, just some
yeah, I guess so.
Tendrils.
Mm-hmm. As long as it can tendril her down. Rail her down.
Finger her down. Smoky fingers.
Ooh.
I almost threw my Kindle when, instead of describing masturbation, she went, take care of myself, so to speak. And I was like, this is a smut book, which I don't know if it is. Yeah, I was like, show, don't tell, which was a major problem I had with this book.
Yes, agreed. Mm-hmm. I had that note several times.
Yeah, I do wish that there was at least one more sexy scene, because there was really only like one and a half.
There was a tease and one sex scene.
Right.
Yeah.
So I wish there had been at least one more. I know it was a short book, but just that one more.
Yeah, along the lines of show, not tell. Again and again, he pushed me over the edge into oblivion. Okay.
This is like when he fell through the floor and the fire. That's like that?
That kind of oblivion?
Page 9. I'll just come out and say it. Unlike the rest of this chapter, you just said everything.
Oh my God. Okay. I thought the most interesting part of this book was in the first chapter when she's urban exploring. So she goes to an abandoned quote unquote school. It's a sanitarium. And she talks about how in the 40s and 50s.
Oh, this is.
Oh, yeah.
Something. This is certainly something.
MIT ran an experiment there that forced the kids to eat radioactive material. It was sponsored by the Quaker Oats Company. And I was like,
Which, that's... like, in terms of capitalism, black humor, I was like,
yeah, sure. But I was like, what if... No. Google. It really happened.
Oh, no.
Yeah, dude.
Sponsored by Quaker Oats?
Yeah, like they worked together to feed these mentally and developmentally disabled children radioactive cereal or oatmeal or something to study iron intake.
Hot damn. I thought the author made that shit up.
Me too.
Whew. Yeah.
Wow.
I thought so too, because I was like, that's crazy. Yeah, conspiracies always are crazy, but just,
sometimes America's just gonna America.
I was like, I just gotta Google that. Like, is that a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, turns out. And that's like 10 pages into this book.
Well, okay, so my problem.
Yeah.
So what a place to want to get railed.
My problem was like, so she's going through that and she does this whole like, I don't think that's great. I think it's terrible. And if I can envision really viscerally everything that happened, then it'll pay respects to them. And it's like, that doesn't do anything, actually.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't help anyone. And like, whatever penance this is, maybe you should go back to one of those therapists.
Yeah, because it's just self-serving.
Yeah.
Go read an article about it. Go read a book, even better.
Or don't, because like, you know, right?
Right.
Like, none of that helps anybody.
Mm. They reached a settlement in the late 90s, so...
And that's the best they're going to get. And there's no amount of money that can compensate for that harm.
No.
And really, you have nothing to do with it, except that you're breaking into the sanatorium.
Right. And you're looking for a flimsy excuse to do
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yes.
Just inhaling asbestos so much. She says, I could only hope the dusty bits of detritus I walked on weren't too badly corrupted with asbestos. I'm a firefighter. What's a little more asbestos in my lungs, huh? I'm basically 30% insulation material now anyway. Oof.
How about that?
But at least you're paying your respects.
Yeah. So weird. Yeah, as someone who used to do stuff like that sometimes, don't make up a moral read. Like, you're right. Like, it's so bizarre. Yeah.
And also,
you're doing this because you want to.
Because you want to. Right. Because it's spooky and cool inside and you want to see it.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
And she says, being the daughter of a cop and a firefighter myself, I wasn't too concerned about getting arrested. The few times I'd been caught by the rental security guards or bored town police officers, I'd always been let go. And I just wrote, ah, so she's white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got yep. it.
Also, check. There wasn't anyone I could tell who wouldn't laugh and call my parents or call my parents in concern. And I'm like, how old are you?
Right.
I'm trying to think of like the cutoff 20? In my life where
20
people
but
wouldn't
look 16.
Maybe. But they would know her well enough to know her age because they have her parents' phone number or whatever. Unless it's a really small town.
It's Boston.
It's Boston.
It is Boston. Oh, but her dad's a cop, so.
Yeah.
She's popular.
When she's hearing him approach the first time, which I thought Catherine Ann Kingsley does tension very well.
She did. Mm-hmm.
She's listening to him approach and she doesn't know what it is. Maybe it was a person after all, just some homeless asshole or a harmless teenage asshole dragging a mattress piled with heavy objects across the floor. And I was like, okay, that's really specific.
Yeah,
maybe. I don't know. You can't prove it's not.
Some homeless asshole, girl.
Or a teenage asshole. Whoever they are, they're a fucking asshole.
I mean, that's redundant, but like, the homeless person, they just need a place to stay.
Yeah.
Give them a break.
Keep bugging them.
They have more right to the sanatorium than you do.
Right.
As she's wrangling with her feelings for him. He's an eldritch monster made out of human fear. You're asking a toaster to feel affection for you, you fucking moron.
That was so fucking harsh.
Yeah, yeah, her self-talk is, it's either really forgiving or it's really harsh.
I didn't love her voice.
Like her style of...
Yes.
Narrating or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. Mm.
I also have to agree with that.
Yeah.
Avalon Bay communities can go fuck a brick, and I don't mean sideways.
The hell does that mean?
No idea. Is that something they say in Boston? Because I've heard fuck something sideways.
Fucking it sideways would be worse.
Right.
Yeah. Like fucking a brick sideways? Ouch.
Yeah.
That's gen... Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe she just talks she like doesn't. She's from Boston. Yeah.
Wait, do they say that? Do they say that in Boston?
I don't know.
Somebody call Drew. She breaks it for me a few times in her voice. What is this? Broke the spell. Like I said, I can accept the fact that I have problems. When she's talking about like...
Oh, I have that highlighted.
And I
too.
Wanted more, so much more. Because I like it, I whispered. Because I love it. Like I said, I can accept the fact that I have problems. And you're like, that was hot. Until you opened your fucking mouth.
Until you gave him the old, he's right behind me, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
That just happened. Yeah, that's kind of how it felt. It kind of felt like, I'm so sorry, Catherine Ann, but like some like Joss Whedon Marvel one-liners.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there were a couple of those.
Yeah.
That you're like, okay.
Okay.
Oh, and I do want to mention, when he reaches into her throat, all of the like fear of death, fear of the unknown, fear of insanity, fear of helplessness, it was all there, all of it. It was only dudes. It was either specifically men or people. And I was like, so only guys feel fear?
Pussies.
That's why they're so aggressive. They're afraid all the time.
Oh.
Poor babies.
I think only their fear matters.
Correct.
Yeah.
Ours is to be expected. Theirs is...
To be expected and to be enjoyed.
Right. And theirs is complicated. And we got to help them through it.
I dated a guy who thought women fainted at the sight of blood. Like, he believed that.
And okay.
I was like, darling. That's 1 week a month, bro. You're just passing out all the time. You wake up, look down, and pass out again.
Yeah.
No, we are just experts at washing it out of things.
No shit.
And drinking it from bathtubs. Ugh. Sometimes. Ugh.
Yeah, honestly, like, get a lady to clean up your crime scene. You ain't getting caught.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Like, how do you think we're all so gorgeous and young looking if not for drinking blood?
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
That guy's an idiot.
I think it's just something that he saw in pop culture a lot and never examined, right? That had to be it, but he was certainly sorry after he told me that because I could not stop laughing.
Good. I hope that didn't trigger his fear of being laughed at by a woman.
You know, if you're dating me, it's got to be a turn on or you're not going to laugh.
She's a little mean sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Only sometimes.
God forbid a woman do anything. Oh, yeah. There were two instances of watching, waiting,
anticipating.
Commiserating.
Emphasis on come. Miserating.
Right, right.
Perhaps the scariest part is that he's been watching her since childhood.
So about that.
Oh, yeah.
And now they bang in.
I want to talk about his perception of time. Mm-hmm. Because in order to be watching her from childhood, he must know that he will be in a romantic relationship with her. And if time is linear, that doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. So he must perceive time in a way that's not linear, therefore making it not creepy.
You are doing too much work on behalf of the story. Tell yourself that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't actually care if it's creepy. I mean, I have a problem with pedophilia. Don't get me wrong. And sometimes I sit there and I envision it and I envision the suffering that those poor kids go through. And I, yeah.
You're just paying your respects.
Just paying my respects. They appreciate it. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense even if I'm the only person who's thought of this.
Because if he is an eternally long-lived creature, someone going from a childhood to their early 20s, it's like a blink of an eye.
Yeah. But it's got to be backwards because she is not a human deserving of individual attention unless he knows that she's the only human who will mean something to him. Mm. But then it's weird because he asks her about her death and it's like, well, if you don't experience time linearly, then hasn't she already died to you? Don't you know what that's like? Or are you talking from that pinpoint in time?
See, I think he doesn't. No, a different sense of time than us. I think he's in the mire going forward slowly with all of us.
But then why did he save her from the car wreck when she was two?
Maybe he saves other people all the time. And she's just the first one who is.
Because she summoned him with her, but she wasn't afraid. I don't know. She should have been.
I don't know. It seems like he's kind of an omnipresent creature that never really manifests to most people. So he's probably saved others here and there, and they just never really perceive it or perceive him or go looking for.
But why does he show himself to her?
What if she's making it up?
She wanted him to?
Yeah, so that's another question.
Then how'd she survive the fall and the fire, Gillian?
Weird things happen to firefighters all the time. She says it herself.
Ah, true.
Ah, Karina, you got me there.
I don't know. I don't know shit.
Also, after he saves her from the fire, she's just like stuttering and says nothing. And she actually asks him a question. And then he answers her and she's like, stop reading my mind. And I was like, because you're so articulate.
Yeah. Give him something, girl.
Yeah. Is this communication working for anybody right now?
No.
And he's like, I am your mind. She's like, all right.
That gives credence to Killian's theory.
Right. But then how did he save her? I don't know.
She saved herself. She pulled herself up by her bootstraps.
She was two.
Her.
She got lucky.
You know those jelly sandals?
those straps.
Also, I love that the car was tipping over the cliff or whatever, and she was just like, wee! But the way that she approaches all of that is really weird. She's like, I don't remember. I couldn't remember. I'm two.
But also, I was enjoying it.
Yeah, why would you think that I would remember? I wouldn't remember that. And it's like, girl.
Clearly you do.
Okay.
Nobody thought you would remember. I don't know. I'm just here. As you trauma dump or whatever these first two chapters are.
Yes.
Also, I want to read this because to an extent, I feel like this is another pup play monster fucker. I tried to explain that's basically what he's doing with me. I'm his pet human. And that stumped him for a long time. And I was like,
Yeah, I noted that too. And I was thinking, yeah, somehow I don't think most pet owners, they probably don't have carnal relations with their pets.
You know what? I think we're learning.
We're learning.
We're learning some new things in this clump of books. And he's like, you love the feline. Like, it's the same thing. Same thing, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, take that and then go the next step.
You love the feline.
Yeah. Also, she named her cat Jamie Lannister.
Okay. Oh, I forgot that.
Okay.
Was it because he's an asshole and he likes to push things off of high surfaces?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does seem to still have all four paws.
True. So I rated this. Is it true love or just a psychotic break?
I gave it 1/2 semi-corporeal claw up. Up where? Who knows?
I said the conspiracy was the best part of this book.
Fuck, man.
Not a conspiracy. It happened.
I spent a lot of time. I read the whole Snopes thing on that because, yeah, they were like, it's true.
You texted us about it.
I did.
And I was like, oh, I must have just missed that. I'm sure I'll get it on second read.
Yeah, I didn't know if y'all had already read it or not, so I didn't want to spoil it. I mean, it's not like a big part of the book anyway. Yeah.
In such a small book, anything is a big part of the book.
That's true.
No, I think waiting for the recording so you can hear the shock and disgust in our voices is the right move.
Yeah.
Dick Talk stars Karina McGeehan, Killian Ross, and Emily Shirley. It's edited by Karina McGeehan, produced and bartended by Derek Adams, and recorded at Shadow Public Radio.
It makes you want to say hi-de-ho.